Today, we begin a series, three sermon series on Parakletos, referring to the Holy Spirit. And I don't know what your view and understanding of Holy Spirit is, but I think it is the one of the most important teaching and doctrine in the scripture for you to be able to live as a Christian. Okay? And what distinguishes Christian faith or Christianity from all the others, I mean all the other religions, is God and or Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, already lives and dwells in you. No other religion could come close to that. Okay? God and or the Spirit already dwells in the person who believes all the believers. If you're a believer, Holy Spirit, the person of God, and the third person of triune God dwells in you. I know I'm intentionally going slow because I really want you to get this. All the other religions, it's not like that at all. It's religions usually seek to reach their deity or God somehow by their own works or trying, rituals, and quote, obedience. Obedience leading to salvation. That's religion. Today we're going to be talking about loving and obedience. Obedience is not prerequisite to salvation, but obedience is the natural outcome of salvation. So the Christian gospel is that the Spirit of God already on this side of eternity before your death already is with us and in us forever. Okay, so that as an introduction, I want us to give a big picture. John Owen, English theologian, pastor, divides the history into three major divisions, three major chapters. If you could just think with me, okay? Starting from Genesis all the way to Revelation, from the creation to the consummation, from the beginning to the end, three chapters. And the first chapter begins, of course, with the creation all the way to the coming of the second person of Trinity, which is Jesus. So we're talking about Old Testament. And if you think with me, John Owen says the great testing truth of this first chapter of history is about the oneness of God's nature and the sovereignty overall with respect to the Father. So if you think, out of the three persons of Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Father, if you will, is on the center stage. Of course, Son is there. Of course, the Holy Spirit is there. But person who is in the center stage is the Father God and the nation of Israel. And then the second chapter, when Christ comes, and I call that Gospels, okay, the period of 33 years. When Christ came, of course, the great question was whether the people would recognize and believe and receive this Son of God who had fullness of his deity. So who's on the center stage in this second chapter of history? God the Son with the disciples. Okay, and then the third and final chapter, which we are living in right now, it begins with the coming of the Holy Spirit, and it ends. It ended with the ascension of Jesus when Spirit came, right? And the church story began. The history of church began. So, who's on the third chapter, main chapter of history? It's the Spirit and the church. I say this slowly because if you are a believer, if the Holy Spirit dwells within you, you will treasure Spirit and the church. Okay? So I think it is very unique, climactic period of redemptive history that we are living in. You are living in, and I am living in. And I think it kind of like exponentially heightened since the pandemic. Now all this, tropical storm that's coming in Florida. I think we really should pray for people in Florida right now with pandemic and the tropical storm. But I want to give this as an introduction because we are living in the time of Holy Spirit. And I'm going to mention this at the end. There are two categories of people in the world, and I think in the church too. One, who do not know the Holy Spirit. They cannot know because they have not received Him. And the second category of humanity, the scripture speaks about, which I believe it is the case with the church as well, is that those who know the Holy Spirit and who walks with the Holy Spirit, and those who love the Spirit, and those who listen to Him and obey Him. So today, we began the third week, a three-week series. Let me just turn this off. Whew. Okay. Today, we began the three-week series on the person of Holy Spirit, Parakletos. And prayerfully, I prepared this message because I want you to fall in love with Him, be obedient to Him, and live this life as a Christian. And in case there is one or two or some of you who do not know the person of Holy Spirit, my prayer is that you will meet Him because He is the greatest gift the Father gives to those who ask. And Jesus' most extensive, distinctive teaching on the Spirit happens in the chapters that we're dealing with right now. John chapter 14, 15, and 16. There are five Parakletos passages found in John's gospel, and we're going to be looking at it in the next 3 weeks. So let me begin with the text. And today I only decided to just go over three verses, and I think it's very difficult to cover all three verses in one message. But I'll do my best under this heat. Okay. It begins with, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Okay. And this topic and this theme of loving and obeying, what's the dynamic between the two? Jesus keeps mentions in verse 21, 23, verse 15, throughout the Holy Spirit section, He mentions, "If you love me, you will obey my commandments." What's the dynamic? What's the relationship between loving and obedience? Let me put it this way. You obey because you love Him, and by obeying, you abide in His love. Let me repeat that, because that's the Christianity. You do not be saved because of the obedience, but you obey Him because you love Him. And by obeying Him, you abide in His love. The only test in the New Testament that whether you love Christ or not is the obedience test. Only test that we have. If you love Him, you would want to obey Him. You would want to listen to Him. You would want to live for Him. I think the principle of obedience and loving is in John chapter 15, verse 10. Listen to this. This is Jesus speaking. "If you keep my commands, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Christianity is always from vertical to horizontal. It's the waterfall and the river. It's always the case. I heard that's John Owen's expression as well. It's always the waterfall and then the river. Without the waterfall, there's nothing flowing. Just as Christ was obedient and abide in His love, we are to obey Him and remain in His love. Okay, that's the relationship. Can I just ask you? The reason I'm mentioning this and asking this is because I want the Spirit of God to stir your heart. Are you in obedience because you love Him? That's the only test there is in the New Testament. Only test that you will see in the Bible, whether you love Him or not, is whether you are living in obedience or not. Okay? So with that, to those who love him and who's been obedient to him, Jesus saying, verse 16 and 17, Parakletos passage, I picked out five person and work of Holy Spirit, Parakletos, from those two verses. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Okay, the first thing I want to mention is Holy Spirit, Parakletos, is the gift from the Father to those who ask. It's the Father's gift. It's the Father's gift. Do you see it? Last week, we talked about Jesus asking his disciples, ask anything in my name, whatever in my name, I will do it. I really want you to hear this, okay? Ask whatever in my name, I'll do it. And here, he's doing the asking to the Father so that you will have the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, there is a Father-giving illustration in Luke chapter 11. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus teaches about prayer. He teaches about Lord's Prayer, and then the illustration of prudent friend, and then the third one that I want to speak to you is the famous ask, it'll be given unto you, seek, you will find, and knock, it'll be opened to you. I know you know this illustration well, but listen to this carefully. Listen to what Jesus is saying. Ask, it'll be given unto you. Seek, you will find. And knock, it'll be opened to you. And then he repeats himself. For everyone who asks receives. What do you hear? What kind of tone do you hear? What kind of voice do you hear? This is someone who really desired to give to you. And you know what the problem is? You do not ask. Can I just ask you? Do you ask him? If not, why not? If not, why not? Ask, it'll be given to you. Seek, you will find. And knock, it'll be open to you. For everyone who asks, receives. For everyone who seeks, finds. And everyone who knocks, it'll be open to you. So it really sounds like ask whatever in my name, I'll do it. And yet the people do not ask. And then this Father giving illustration. Listen to this carefully. Verse 11, what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish, will give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? Do you hear it? Earthly father, evil father, if son asks for a fish, you're going to give him a snake. If son asks for an egg, you're going to give him a scorpion. And the question is, and the answer is, of course not. Of course not. Even the earthly father, they know how to give good things to their own children. And the power of this illustration is the next verse. Next verse says, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more, will the Heavenly Father will give you the Holy Spirit to those who are asking him? I want to just pause because I know you know this illustration, but I'm not sure whether you understand it, okay? The power of this illustration is how much more, comparing from one to the other, from lesser to greater logic. How much more is earthly father versus heavenly father? How much difference is there? A lot of difference, infinite difference. One is evil. The other one is good. How much difference is there? One is willing to give something better, like fish to snake, instead of snake, fish, instead of scorpion, an egg. But how much more will the Heavenly Father capable of giving? Do you see the force? Do you see the power? Okay. If you put everything together, even the earthly father, wicked father, evil father, give good things. Good gift to their own children. How much more will the Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit? I'm not sure whether you hear it, but I think what Jesus is saying is that Spirit is the gift from the Father, and Spirit is the preeminent gift of the Heavenly Father. I'm going to ask you, how many of you consider Holy Spirit as a precious gift? Would you say amen? Is money greater gift? Your possession greater gift? Is like earthly gift greater gift? Do you consider Holy Spirit as the preeminent gift from the Father? But that's what Jesus is saying. Why is it the preeminent gift? Why is that the most important gift? Why is it the most precious gift? You know why? Because without the Spirit of God, you are completely lost in sin and heading for destruction. Without the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, you are in complete darkness. Complete deadness. That's why the Spirit of God is the greatest gift from the Father, preeminent gift. That's the first thing. Secondly, Parakletos is another helper. Let me give you the meaning of Parakletos. Para meaning alongside of, just like your spouse. And kaleo, Parakletos, called, to be called. Well, who's the one who's calling, okay, to help, to exhort, to strengthen, to defend. So that's, Holy Spirit is a person who's alongside of you to help you, to exalt you, to strengthen you, to empower you for the rest of eternity. Okay? That's what it means. And Jesus is teaching that he's going to be with you forever. Could you think with me? Is anybody going to be with you forever to help you? Is anybody in this world who lives with you to strengthen you, to help you, to encourage you, to exalt you, to intercede for you forever? What about my spouse? Been married for 32 years. That's not forever. And we know at one point we will be separated, right? What about your parents? What about your child? What about your friend? No one will be able to exalt you and help you forever. But believe it or not, the teaching of the scripture is that Holy Spirit alongside you to be with you, to help you forever. That's an amazing statement. That's an amazing statement. Which means, would you listen to this? He's already with you, and the life of God is in you already if you're a believer. A lot of people think it's a lot of trying, and once we get to heaven and our Christianity and eternity begins, but that's not scripture. That's not Christianity. That Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is in you already. Therefore, the newness of life, a divine life, is in with you already and forever. Okay? That's the second work and the person of the Holy Spirit. And then the third is, he is the Spirit of truth. We're looking at verse 17. And I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. And then the third point is, he is the Spirit of truth. He's the Spirit who leads you to all truth. In other words, apart from the Spirit of God, you remain in lies. And you remain. You cannot recognize what the truth is, what is not the truth. Only through the Holy Spirit of truth. This expression shows up three times in chapter 14 and chapter 15 and chapter 17. So I'm going to talk about this topic a little bit more next time. But I do want to give you a snapshot. Okay? We look at verse 14 right here. And he's the one. He's the Spirit of truth. And chapter 15 says, Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and you will bear witness about me. You know what the Holy Spirit does? He testifies about Christ. We will see it in other books. He exalts Christ. He is the Spirit of Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 9 says, if you do not have the Spirit of Christ, you do not belong to him. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you do not belong to him. He's the Spirit of truth. And in chapter 16, Spirit of Truth is the one who guides you to all truth. Without him, you are being cheated by what is not true. Okay? And I pray that you will desire him and seek him, walk with him, consult to him, be counseled by him, comforted by him, strengthened by him, guided by him, make decisions with him. That's what Christian life is. Okay? He is the Spirit of Truth. Number one, he's the Spirit of Truth who bears witness about Christ, and he will guide you to all truth. Okay? And the fourth, and this is what really kind of, I want to just portray this clearly. Holy Spirit, Spirit of Truth, the world cannot receive. The Word cannot receive. Okay? Because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him. Okay? I'm speaking to a group of people right now. How many of you know him? You don't have to say amen. How many of you see him? How many of you talk to him? This morning I woke up. I didn't know there was going to be no air conditioning today. And I always pray that, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I always pray that. And one of the meanings of fill me with your Holy Spirit, the word plero means, I'm going to explain it next week. It means I'm an empty glove. And the hand comes into the glove. That's what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, I'm just empty glove, lifeless glove, dry stick. Unless the hand of God comes into him and fill me, whatever I do, it means lifeless. So I ask this morning, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Do you talk to him? Do you consult to him? Do you ask him? You know, Holy Spirit is a person. Person meaning he has the mind and emotion, and he has the volition. He's a person. You do not ignore him. He has his mind, intellect, and he has emotion. He gets angry, he gets jealousy, and he's joyful, and he rejoices. Sometimes he saddens, and you could totally quench the spirit, totally diss him. Right? He's a person. Do you respect him? Can you imagine you're married? I'm married to, you know, Ellen for 32 years. Can you imagine? I totally ignore her. I don't care what she thinks. I do whatever I want to do. I go out whenever I want to go out. Can you imagine a life like that? Will this marriage work at all? Absolutely not. Christian life, you're walking with the person of Holy Spirit, and he is God. Therefore, I know many of you are getting married this year. I praise God. And there's another couple in KM who's getting married. Okay. It is very similar to marriage. And I'm willing to say, without learning to walk with the Holy Spirit, is it possible to walk with your own spouse without that sacrificial love of agape? Can you truly love your spouse? Okay? So Holy Spirit is a person, and he is God. And the world do not know him, cannot know him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, it says, listen to this. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. Do you hear it? There is only two types of spirit you have received. One is the spirit of the world, and the other is spirit of God. Okay? How do you recognize the two? You have not received the spirit from the world, but the spirit from God, that we understand, we might understand the things of God, which is given by God. You know how you know you have the Spirit of God? You appreciate and really understand and love the things of God. What would that be? I think this group of people who's willing to listen in 90 degree weather, right? Listening to the Word of God, I really appreciate. I really appreciate the church. I really appreciate this life that he has called me to preach the word, especially in time like this, in pandemic. to those who are walking toward the destruction. Okay, you and I, I'm called to preach the truth so that by somehow, with the word and the spirit, you could be turned around and come back to Christ. Last 11 years of God's work upon his church. Last 50 some years of my life that he has shown grace. I'm thankful and I'm grateful and I look forward to just finishing up for the glory of God. And I appreciate it. You know what? Holy Spirit, help you to see the things of God. Without the Spirit of God, in other words, you're in complete deadness and darkness. That's what the scripture is teaching. Natural person, verse 14, that's unregenerate person who do not have the Spirit of God. Natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. It's worthless. You don't listen. You may say, okay, but turn around and you never listen to it. You do not obey because you do not love him without the Spirit of God. That's what the scripture is teaching. That's what Christianity is teaching. Natural person does not accept the things of God or the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he's not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. My prayer is, brothers and sisters, many of you just about to be married or recently be married. Doesn't matter. Marriage is not like the starting point, but you're really at a fork to decide what kind of life you want to live. Are you just going to follow the patterns of the world? Or are you going to follow to do the will of God? It's one or the other. It really is one or the other. And what's going to make the difference? Spirit of this world and the Spirit of God. Okay? Lastly, this is something that I've been mentioning for weeks, but the Parakletos is someone who dwells in you, manos in you, with you, and in you. Jesus specifically say he's going to be dwelling with you forever. He didn't say that, but he said he will be with you and in you. Do you see the difference? The prepositions are different, isn't it? With you and in you. If you were to distinguish, I think one is about external, next, alongside, whereas in is more internal, and it is within and indwelling. That is why amazing truth in the gospel is Spirit of God indwells in you already if you love him and if you believe in him. He indwells in you. Okay. In the same chapter, in verse 10, Jesus said this, I do not speak my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me, manos in me, doing his work. Remember that? I do not speak my own word. I'm not speaking my own word, but it is the Father who dwells in me, and he's the one who's doing the work. And a few verses later, in verse 17, the same dwelling is used for spirit and Christians. Now, here is a crazy thing. First time Jesus is mentioning the same relationship between Father and Son exists between you and the Spirit. I just want to pause because I don't know whether you understand that, number one. No, believe that or believe that. The same relationship, same immutable relationship between Father and the Son exists between Spirit and the believers and Christ and the believers. You go down a few verses. In verse 20, this is what Jesus said. On that day, a day when the Holy Spirit comes, on that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. First time he's mentioning this. On that day when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, just as I am in the Father, Son is in the Father, the triune relationship, manor relationship, just as that relationship, you are in me and I am in you. That's an amazing statement, people. That is an amazing statement. We're talking about that indwelling, mutual indwelling, inseparable, immutable relationship between Father and the Son exists between Christ and us and Holy Spirit in us. If this is being registered, could you say amen? Brothers and sisters, I don't think it's unclear. Scripture is clear. I don't think it's unclear at all. You either dwell in him or you don't. Scripture is teaching that the same relationship between Father and the Son, triune God, that indwelling Spirit exists between you and the Spirit and you and Christ. In the Old Testament, what did you have to do to meet God? You have to get a sheep and you have to go to the temple. Without the blood of the animal, you cannot go to God. So you have to get a sheep, an animal, who's going to die on your behalf and go all the way to Jerusalem to meet God, and not directly, indirectly, only through the blood of the animal. Because without the blood of the animal, you cannot approach God. That's the Old Testament, chapter 1. What about chapter 2? What about in the Gospels? The incredible change happened. The second person of Trinity came to us, and he is with us. He's with us. He is the Lamb of God. He is the one who's going to shed the blood, and he is the Emmanuel, which is a huge step. But what about chapter 3? Now the Spirit of God indwells in you. I don't know whether you see the change. I don't know whether you see the privilege. I don't know whether you appreciate that. In the Old Testament, chapter 1, you need an animal and you got to go all the way to Jerusalem. Slay that animal, and through the animal, perhaps you could be acceptable to the holiness of God. In chapter 2, in the Gospels, Jesus came and he stand next to you. He walked among us, Emmanuel God. But right now, people, to those who believe, to those who love him, he indwells in you. That's the change. Let me summarize and close. I already said there are only two categories. And I pray that the second category is not that many. The first person, category of people that I would like to speak to you is for those who already know him, who's been walking with him. May you fall in love with him. Okay? If you love him, you will obey him. By obedience, you abide in his love. And may you fall in love with him and then obey him. Brothers and sisters, without obedience, the relationship becomes sour. I'm not sure exactly what to make of it theologically, because Holy Spirit will remind you of his great love, so you would want to obey. But for those of you who knew Holy Spirit and walking with him, and it's been weak because your relationship with him has been very, very shallow, I pray that as we go through the next 3 weeks, you would have a deep desire to get to know him. Learning to walk with him, honor him, consult him, talk to him, seeking guidance, falling in love with him. And I pray that that's my prayer. Now, the second category of people in this room, perhaps there is, for those of you who have yet know him or received him, and you have no idea who the Holy Spirit is, I want to speak to you. Ask him. Seek him and knock the door. Even the earthly father, they want to give a good thing to their own children. How much more will the heavenly father to those who ask and you do not ask? Can I ask you, do you ask him? Why not? Why don't you ask him? And I pray that as you listen to the word of God, without the Holy Spirit, you're in complete darkness. It's like this. I thought about this. You live your whole day only to turn around and you've been walking on the wrong path. It happens, right? Can you imagine? You live your entire life, your whole life, you walked your life, and then turn around, oop, I was on the wrong path. All my life. Holy Spirit will guide you to all truth. So seek Him and ask Him, knock. And my prayer is that you will meet Him, you get to know Him. And the Father's heart is, how much more will the Heavenly Father will give you the Holy Spirit? Okay, let's pray.